and was bold and said and started witnessing to everybody there and being spring too. She says, do you want to accept Jesus Christ right now as your Lord and Savior to spring? And she's like, no, I think I'll wait for Crystal.
Right. Thank you.
She liked the ease of my deliverance rather than getting in her face and choking her to death, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That is the example. That is a beautiful example, right? That is a beautiful example.
So she called me and said, I need to get saved.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm coming over right now. And she said, no, we'll wait till Monday night. No, you're not going to wait till Monday night. You'll lose the desire to get saved. No, you're going to do it now. No. I want Ron to be with me. We'll wait till Monday night. So I prayed all weekend. I said, okay, we'll go Monday night. So I went over to their house Monday night. I led them both to the Lord.
Yeah.
But I told them some stories of the Bible. I told them about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah. And Daniel and the lions. They'd never heard them.
Yep.
And they were like soaking it up. You have to develop a relationship.
You have to develop a relationship. You have to develop a relationship. You have to. And you have to listen to them, right? She's saying to her, what happens if Crystal goes over that night? What happens if Crystal goes over that night? She may not be ready. She's telling her, listen, Monday is the day. I need some time to get there. Right. And in our mind, we're going, well, what if something happens on Saturday? Right. What if something happens on Saturday? But if it's truly a God-led thing, she will be there on Monday night. Really. Right. When the Bible says light and salt, what are ways we do this? Like, so it's saying, okay, Crystal's kind of bringing up some of this, right? So if it says, be the light, be the salt, what are the two main ways we do that? What do we use? We use our mouth, we talk, and then it's action, right? Those are our two main ways of showing the light, right? So the people looking at us, they want to see our actions. And they're also looking at what we say and how we say it, how we act, right? Okay. Those are the two main ways. There are other ways, but those are the two main ways, right? What are some actions that we can demonstrate being the light or the salt of the world? Who has some actions? We just talked about some, right? Who has some actions? Not words, actions. How can you be the light or salt?
So you just meet a need that you see.
Meet a need, right? So you see something and you hear something about somebody needing something, you go and provide the need, right? That's great. That's one way of showing the light, being the salt, right?
Being encouraging.
Being encouraging, right? All right, actions. Who's got actions over there?
Being an example.
Be an example, Joe said. Okay. So being an example. And what do we mean by being an example? Back to Joe. What do you mean by being an example?
By living the right way, by showing them by through your faith how things can be, instead of going to them like you said, beating them with a Bible. You know, if you just talk to people normally and they see how things are working in your life, they're going to want some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that opens the door.
Right, exactly. So be the example, right? So be the example. If you have no time to help somebody and somebody needs help, you go and help them, right? You be the example. You be the example that other people aren't, right? That other people are not. So if somebody you know is annoying and they're whining all the time, sometimes we have to be the example, suck it up and let them cry on your shoulder, right? But you can't be fake. It can't be fake because people see fake. I hear it all the time. people think that they're being genuine, and the people recognize they're not. You got to have the right heart. If you don't have the right heart, they're going to pick up on that, and it's going to push them away. Dan.
Say what you mean and mean what you say.
Thank you.
Period.
Period. Right. So if you say you're going to go do something, then go do it. Right?
Reggie, I think humility, we really lacking that in this world today. Like you mentioned earlier, everybody, it's all about themselves.
Yep.
If you ask somebody about how they're doing, it goes a long way.
Yep. Humility is huge. This world is not a humility place at all. Zero. Serious. Including Christians. I know a lot of Christians that are not very, they think they are, but they're not.
It reminds me of growing up and my parents would say, do as I say, not as I do type of thing. And I think and I was thinking the same thought you just shared, Dan, and it's funny because there's so many times I find myself, you know, in the word, and then God immediately gives you the ability to act it out.
Yes.
And that's when the temptations and the distractions come and you know what I mean? And you're in your flesh. But yet how forgiving he is to give us those baby steps.
Absolutely.
Each time that conviction, that ability to go to him in repentance and just to grow each time so that we don't get discouraged.
Yep.
Because when we stay away from his word, that's when the discouragement settles in.
Absolutely.
But then the minute you jump back into his word, you know, he gives you that reassurance that he's there, that he's forgiving, that he's walking you through these steps, and that we are making mistakes, but we're getting that, you know, one step closer. And how amazing those days are when you realize, you know, that he's brought you to this place. And one example I can think of spiritually, finding a healthy balance of light and salt that we've dealt with a lot in our life is when you were consoling a family over death.
Mm-hmm.
And you want so desperately, you know, for that salvation that you know, for them, for their family, you want to console them, but they're not believers.
Mm-hmm.
That is such a fine line. And they know what your faith is, but you don't have to go there and preach. I mean, that is like one of the worst times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just one of those fine lines where it's like, they're not ready to hear it yet, but you can still be there physically.
Yeah.
To listen.
And again, it goes back to action, right? So action, how you handle the death of someone is an action, right? And they're looking to you. So if you're in turmoil over a death, guess what that shows them, right? What's that show them?
Reggie.
Now, on the other hand, if it's too light, if you're too light about the death and say, well, you know, he's up in heaven, you know, and good for him, you know, like, That can be bad too, right? Yeah, Deb.
We think too that it's showing the light is an important part of that is showing the light when you don't know or think that other people are even watching or listening.
Oh, absolutely.
And what
absolutely.
I mean, okay, so what I mean by that is an example. This example happened to Chuck and I many, many years ago when Shaw's grocery store was here. And we went down one evening late, was hardly anybody in the store. And Chuck and I heard a couple in the next aisle arguing and swearing at each other. And when
was it us?
No, it wasn't us.
Good clarification, Chuck. Thank you for that.
And we came around the end of the aisle and we were both shocked because it was a couple from our church.
Oh, yeah.
And boy, I'll tell you, that hit Chuck and I so hard how they had no idea that we were in the next aisle or that we could hear them. And how important is it for us? That reminded us to remind ourselves that when we don't know people are hearing or seeing, we need to be doing it because God is our audience of one.
Absolutely.
And he's always the one that sees and hears our light.
Yep. Yep. Amen. That's great. So important. got some good communication going on here. I love it.
Hi. So it's like we shouldn't be fake and like here and be different when we go out of here.
That, right. Yeah, and let's not be fake in here, like, whoo, we're so good in here, and you know, and we say all the right things, and then we go out there and we don't do it. We're not living it.
I also see in Romans 13:11, part of it says, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber.
Yes.
Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed.
Right.
The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Actually, I'm glad you said that one, because I actually took that one out of my thing. But obviously it was meant to be in it. So that's beautiful. So I love that. I love that. So, yeah. So be right. The day is coming. The day is coming. Right? Everybody's watching us. The captives are watching. Okay, let's go to Marie.
Oh, I just want to say one thing. Actions speak louder than words.
Actions speak
and
louder than
words. I was just thinking of grocery store when Debbie spoke up. And I was thinking, like, you go in the grocery store and you're not talking. You're just getting those groceries and wandering around. But that's where your actions speak louder than words. Mm-hmm. Because as you're going along, you can be courteous enough to allow that person to, you know, go by you or go in front of you. And then when you get to check out, you know, you've got to decide, let that person go ahead of you, whatever, whatever. But the courtesy and the kindness is what speaks so loudly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you can't speak it in words. It's your actions. And like Debbie said, you hear these people, but it's not hearing anything. It's how are you acting?
Yeah, that's right.
How are you acting as you go along in that store?
That's right.
You know, and you might maybe not be acting quite like you should be. So there you go. So people look at you and say, oh, you know.
They're watching.
There's a saying in 12-step programs that you have promotion, then you have attraction. So you can promote something, but is your life attractive to what you are promoting?
That is correct. Ooh, I like that one. Is your life, yes, attracting what you're promoting? Good one.
My job is very challenging. I work with 11 women and they don't know the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, but they know my walk.
Yeah.
So I get respect, but at the same time, they will come to a couple will come to me crazy. So that's when I have to still let my light shine.
Yes.
And it's not easy.
No.
But once they see that, you know, because there was a time when I really almost went off, but I had to think about it and just let it go.
Yep.
And that's not easy, but as long as we let our light shine, they'll always give you that respect.
That is right. Because,
I mean, they cuss like sailors, but at the same time, they're always saying, excuse me, Marie. Sorry, Marie. And sometimes I just want to say, okay, you're not too sorry because you're constantly saying it. But I keep it shut, you know, and just let the Lord fight my battle.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we bite our tongue so hard it's bleeding when we leave, right? Like there's like blood coming out of our mouth, right? Like it's just the way it is. So. You got something else? Okay.
I was just going to say, sometimes it's what you don't say is more important than what you do say.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, you could come back at them in a mean way and totally turn them off. But also, I think it's so important just to listen. We talk too much.
Yeah. Yes. We do.
We talk too much.
Yes.
And there are people who just want to have somebody listen to them.
Correct.
You know?
Right.
And ask about them. What do they like Claude was saying, you know, it's more about them than it's about you.
Right. That
you know,
right.
I had a teacher one time who said, who's the most important person in the room? And I said, well, I don't know. She said, it's the person you're talking with.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that always stayed with me.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
How about examples? How about examples of where too much is too much? Anybody have those type of examples?
Yeah, actually, I was going to bring this up earlier. I was one of those people that was in the supermarket, but I happened to be at Grossman's Lumber Yard in Manchester. And when I walked in, it says quality lumber for quality workmanship.
Yeah.
Well, I was throwing 2x4s all over the place, screaming and hollering and swearing and everything else. And in the next aisle was one of the deacons in our church. Mm-hmm. So he says, don't be telling people you're a Christian.
Right.
I mean, he humbled me and made me realize that I'm being watched all over the place.
So how about like where you think you're doing the right thing, but you're going over the top? Anybody see that? Anybody see any, I mean, I watch a lot of different services and stuff like that. I've seen times where people are like in church and I've heard stories about this at other places where the person, like, they're always passing out in church every single Sunday. They stand up, they're struck by the Holy Spirit, down they go. Every single weekend. Have you seen that? How about the person that's over the top, like, Jesus, 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 not saying anything, but just Jesus, 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 but not saying anything, right? Like not giving any credential to it, right? Just like going crazy, right? And people look at them like they're crazy, right? That's over the top. That's an action. That's actions that are like, people look at that and they're like, huh, if that's what it means to be a Christian, I ain't walking around just jumping around saying crazy things all the time, right? Right?
Reggie.
We all know the people with the signs that are out there every day, and they have the signs, and they have the signs, and the signs. Like, to people, that just looks crazy. Yeah.
Well, and you just hit it on the head. It's, and it goes back to the humility thing. That's always drawing attention to self.
Right.
The Jesus thing, the falling down. You come to church every Sunday, and it's the worst possible week you've ever had in your life.
Yeah, right.
Is it always that this is the worst week you've ever had in your life? Is that really what it is?
Right.
Or do you just need somebody to listen to you, as someone else said?
Right.
But then when we do visit with each other, and I'm just talking Christian to Christian, receive the good that you do get from each other. Why would you talk to somebody if there's not something good to glean from it? Then take that, if it's biblical, use it, because then you have the opportunity to go to people that aren't Christian and be able to do the same thing.
Yeah.
We live in a world that is always about me, always.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to break that is for someone to set the example of, I'm all set. I know where I'm going when I die. God has given me and blessed me more than I've ever been blessed or what I deserve.
Yep.
So why do I have to keep thinking about myself?
Right.
Why can't I start focusing on people that they have no life?
Right.
You know, they're just completely eaten up with so many things.
Yep.
And they do need somebody to listen to.
Yep.
And Jesus was the master of power encounters with people.
Yep.
He knew exactly. You love people.
Yep.
But you realize what's going on behind them that's driving them to the point that they're possessed.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. So the, you know, that's a great example too of all that stuff, right? Like it's just so much, right? And things are coming at us, and people like the one way, if you're anxious, nervous, if you want to get out of that, help somebody, because you're not thinking about your own feelings all the time. If you want to break that idea, help somebody. Because when you're helping somebody and you're focusing on them and you're truly focusing on them, it takes your mind off yourself. And that's huge. That's the blessing.
And when you do for somebody else because they're in need, there's a blessing that comes over you. It really is precious.
Right. Over here, Claude.
You know, the opposite of righteousness is self-righteous.
Yeah, that's right.
Just a quick testimony about that. Being a younger Christian, well, I'm not as young as I used to be, but I remember, you know, God has always put it on my heart in the last few years to be a prayer warrior. But I remember before that, the enemy would put the thought in my head that I wasn't good enough to be, that my life wasn't together. So how could I be praying for others? But man, when you start praying for others, I ask my friends all the time, will you just let me know when I can pray for you? Because when my mind's on your stuff,
yeah,
and I'm connecting with God in, yeah, such a way, I'm not focused on me.
Yeah.
And like Diane said, it is a blessing.
Yes.
Because then when you hear the testimonies or the miracles or the, you know, just knowing that God or feeling his presence and connecting with the Holy Spirit, it's so empowering.
Yep. So can we be the perfect light and right amount of salt? Can we be that? Everybody wants to say yes, right? No, we cannot. No, we cannot. We can't. We can't on our own. We can't on our own. We cannot. Not on our own. We need to have an intense relationship, an intense relationship. Did you hear me? An intense relationship with Jesus. Amen. An intense relationship with Jesus. Because if it's just surface, it ain't going to cut it. If it's surface, we're going to miss the boat. We really are. And we need complete surrender. Complete surrender to the Holy Spirit. Complete surrender to the Holy Spirit. Very difficult. Very difficult. Challenging. This is challenging to me. Very challenging to me. Complete surrender to the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit is instructing us to say, instructing us to do. The only way is to have an intense relationship. If we don't know what the book says, we're going to miss it. Right? We're not having an intense relationship. If I am not meditating with Christ at times, I'm going to be missing it. If he isn't talking to me, telling me these things to write down, I'm missing it and you're missing it. So not only am I missing it, but you're missing it. And when you're doing that, you're also stealing from me if you're not doing it. Okay? The captives are watching. Right now, we talked about that, right? The captives are watching. There's a mess out there. Confusion, deception. There's a mess. And we have to understand that more than ever. If there's ever a time, we have to sharpen our skills. We have to sharpen. This takes practice. We have to sharpen our skills. We need to practice this. You should be practicing in your mind. Crystal was praying before, all weekend long, before she went to meet on that Monday. Right? She was praying. She was practicing. Listening. It's huge. We need to be sharpening our skills. And be prepared. Be prepared. Know who you're going to talk to. We were talking about relationships, right? We know people that are critical, that are going to come back and be critical to you. Be prepared. So when they do that, and they will do that, you don't snap. You don't snap, right? If they're passive and you know that they need a little push, be prepared to give a little push, right? But you got to be prepared. And how do we be prepared? By communicating with God. Communicating with God. Are we stepping away at the right times, praying about what we will do, what we will say before reacting? Are we building a relationship that when we talk to people about tough topics, we anticipate their response. Anticipate their response. and can effectively communicate our feelings in a non-threatening way. That's key, because if we come at them in a threatening way, they turn away. We're shining too much light. Trying to avoid from the person from shutting down or backing, coming back at us in an attack mode. We don't want to see that happening. And I'm going to end with two scriptures here that kind of explain this in a nutshell. But I want to remind you, relationship, practice, get ready, anticipate, okay? We're not doing it enough. We're not doing it enough because we're reacting in a bad way. I see it too often, too much. 1 John 1:5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. That's us. That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He knows exactly the right balance at all times, right? He knows. We're not very good at that, but he knows. He knows. If we say we have a fellowship with him, and that's what we're saying, right? But notice it says if. Notice it says if. He knows that some of us aren't. If we say we have a fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light. He is in the light. We need to walk with him, right? He has to come out of us. We have fellowship with one another. That's when we have fellowship with one another, right? That's when we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us all from all sin. When does that happen? You got to read right before that, right? It tells you right there. Because he is in us, we have access to the perfect light. So you want to know how to talk to people perfectly? Lean into him. He won't lead you astray. He won't lead you astray. But we have to push the power button to have the light shine. We have to be connected. We have to be connected. That takes communication with him and then surrender of all our carnal thoughts and follow through with his thoughts. James 3:17. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. He is pure. We are not. It is also peace loving, gentle at all times, just sometimes. Doesn't say sometimes. Doesn't say gentle sometimes. Doesn't say when you feel like it. Doesn't say when you're talking to the perfect person at all times. Gentle at all times. And willing to yield to others. Does that mean that you don't tell them the truth? No. It tells you that you need to tell them the truth in the right way. It is full of mercy. That's biting the tongue, isn't it? Till it bleeds. And the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. And like I said, the whole point of all this is for salvation of others. If we're doing this for our own good, it's not going to work. It has to be to show others the light. It has to be seasoned the proper amount for others. If it's all about us, we're in big trouble. If it's all about this church, the church as a whole, we're in trouble. We need, the harvest is great. Now's the time. We need to get out there, show the light. Don't be overbearing. Make sure you're communicating with God. Being prepared for the type of person you know you're going to be dealing with because you built a relationship. You built a relationship. And then all will go well. You won't mess up. So good luck with that. Because it's a challenge. It's a challenge. But he's given us instruction. And the reason this message is coming right now is because he's preparing us. And he's saying now's the time to be prepared. Right? There's a lot going on in the world. There's a lot of nasty stuff. It's frustrating. It's angering. It revs us up. We got to control it. Dear God, we just love you and thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for how you move in us. And we just pray that this message is something that just goes inside us. We understand the spirit of it. We want to live it. But we know it's going to be a challenge. And guess what? We also know we're going to be attacked this week with this very challenge. People are going to push our buttons. And we are not going to react in a negative way. We are going to show them the light. We are going to seize them with their right amount of salt. And they're going to see something different than they're seeing everywhere else. And your light will shine through us. In your name, amen. This is exactly